Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. We've got 24 and a half more minutes to go in the program today. It's Thursday, August 29th, 2024. Tim, Fred Jackson, and now Steve Paisley, Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. Steve, we were talking to Alex McFarland last half hour, and he's out in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Did you know, did you go to church with him or?
No, he went to
that other church.
Well, the church that he's, I can't remember the name of the church. I talked to him yesterday. Yes, we knew each other. We worked together at Focus.
Yeah.
I went to a church called Woodland Valley Chapel, which was the second largest church in Colorado Springs. We had about 3,000 members or so, and now I guess the church that he is at, is preaching at, has grown tremendously. It's got more than 1,000.
How many members. Employees did Focus on the Family have?
At its height?
Yeah. I should know that. I want to say 1,200 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was...
I can't imagine that payroll. That's unbelievable.
They have two massive buildings, three.
I've been there. I've been buildings. On their campus before. This was during the Dr. Dobson era.
Right. It hit its peak 2005, 2006, as far as I was there at the time, and it was just gangbusters. 2008 came around, and the economy crashed, and Dr. Dobson left the ministry.
When did he leave?
About 2008, about the same time the economy crashed. And some of the...
Did the economy crash because Dr. Dobson left?
Some people might... chalk it up to that, but the housing crisis and everything. But Dr. Dobson, some of the supporters of Focus went with him to his new family talk.
Yeah, it was not a pretty. It
was a difficult
scene.
Time. It was a difficult time to be at the ministry. But it's leasing.
You did family building. News in Focus.
I did.
I used to. I heard we aired that. Long before you came to work for us.
Then I've been on this station
yeah,
a long
you've been
time.
You've been on a long time. With family. Who else did Family News in Focus back? We're talking
reporters?
Back in the 90s and 2000s. Huh?
Other reporters?
Yeah.
Stuart Shepard?
I remember that name, yeah.
He's now with First Liberty. He's doing video for them. Kim Troby?
Don't know Kim.
Kim is a wonderful woman who's a great reporter.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought maybe some people might recognize those names.
Yeah.
But Family News in Focus was a big deal on Christian radio for a long time.
We had a good following. It was very humbling to be part of.
All right, what's your first story for us?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that I've been talking to all my Democrat friends and our Democrat listener here on AFR. They're a little nervous about the debate tonight. I'm sorry, the interview tonight, afraid that Kamala might unwind and everything. But I want to tell you, be at peace, be at ease. She's got a man sitting by her side to rescue her. So,
ooh. Oh, Steve, I don't think you're supposed to say that. Huh? Bada boom.
Can I start with a couple stupid things before we get to real news?
Yeah, but you want to apologize for what you just did there?
Not really.
Okay, you're going to have to go home this afternoon to your wife.
I don't.
Okay.
She's laughing. She's listening.
The views and opinions expressed here by Steve Jordahl do not necessarily reflect those of Fred Jackson. Or
yes.
Tell me I'm wrong, though. He is a man.
Move on, Steve.
Okay.
Here's a hole. Here's a shovel.
All right.
Put the dirt back in.
There's a new endorsement for Kamala Harris. And it might not surprise anybody, Ben Stiller is endorsing Kamala Harris, a Hollywood guy. Yes, the comic. And let me read, he says, just very excited about moving forward, all the energy and excitement that's around the movement right now. Let me check my notes here. That's why I'm here, because it's time for a change. And it seems like that's happening.
Wait a minute. Ben Stiller, the comedian, is this a joke?
No.
Okay, so he says he's supporting Kamala Harris because he wants to see...
It's time for change.
It's a time for change, yet it's Harris...
From the Biden-Harris.
Who's the vice president of the United States right now. And so he wants to change. So you change from Harris to Harris? That's the change he's looking
apparently,
for?
Apparently. I don't know where the change is going to come from, but he's excited about it.
What do you think he meant by this? Well, another genius remark by a Hollywood type.
I know, right?
Time for a change. Well,
time for a change.
Well, if he means let's move further to the left, I agree. I think a presidential Kamala administration would take this country even further to the left.
Yeah, you know what, these people like him,
mm-hmm.
There's no telling how much money he has. I don't know what his net worth would be. Ben Stiller, I mean, he's been a huge star for 20 years or more, and especially comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy films. There's no telling
Son
how
of
much.
Jerry Stiller. And,
yeah.
And Mira.
Yeah.
Remember her first name.
I want to see their answer when Harris and Waltz propose their income tax.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Because Harris and Waltz represent like Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. If they had their way, there would be a 50% or more, maybe more, a 50% federal income tax on people making more than $1 million a year.
Yes.
That it's already like isn't it like 30 something like that?
It's she's proposing a several $1 trillion tax increase.
Yeah. So what I'm saying
is
gonna
come out. If
you were to say to Ben Stiller and don't enter politics into it, just say, hey, are you in favor of paying half your money to the federal government?
Yeah.
And he would probably go, no.
Yeah.
That's my money. I earned it.
Well, and Ben Stiller, how do you feel about unrealized capital gains?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's their stand on that?
Yeah. Kamala Harris wants to tax your unrealized capital gains. In other words, we think in 5 years the value of your business or property is going to go up by this much, but we're going to tax you for that projected gain right now.
Wow.
Or that the property has increased in value over the last 5 years, you haven't sold it. Your stocks have increased in value over the last 5 years.
And they would you to pay taxes on that?
They're still going to tax you on it.
Yes.
Now, it's highly unlikely anything like that would ever pass because there would probably be at least a few Democrats that would vote against it.
The rich ones, I'm thinking.
But, yeah. So, and the Republicans would never go for that.
Yep.
Never go for that.
There's an old joke that says liberals will tax anything that moves.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
That's
right.
That's the way they are. That's
but all these Hollywood, actors and actresses, and they're almost it's a groupthink deal. They're almost, with the rare exception, they're almost all lefties. And you got a few of them that aren't.
Yes, very few.
At least the high profile ones are lefties. And I just want to see. I would like them to be asked about directly about the taxation proposals of the Democrats that they support.
Yeah.
Because I just don't, nobody's going to say, hey, yeah.
Sign me up.
Sign me up for 60, 70% federal income tax.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right, next story.
All right, just another real quick. Congratulations to Johnson & Johnson. They are innovating medicine. They are forwarding and trying to bring gender equity to prostate cancer care. Let that sink in.
I am. You see my gender equity to
prostate.
Something only a male can get.
Mm.
Okay. Now what? Explain. Give us some context.
Do they try to explain that?
Yeah.
For decades, researchers, healthcare professionals, patients, and their loved ones have come together to advance treatment and care for people diagnosed with prostate cancer. Clinical studies have been centerpiece for collaboration across the disease continuum, from early local disease to late-stage metastatic prostate cancer. Yet, LGBTQIA+ community, and especially transgender individuals, have historically been excluded from clinical research programs.
Where are you reading this from? Like the Babylon Bee or something?
No. This is an announcement from Johnson & Johnson.
Okay.
I want to get
through a couple of stories. Again,
I was treated for prostate cancer back 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
at a clinic in Knoxville, I did not see one female being treated for prostate cancer.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Not one.
Yeah, and if you go to the OBGYN and they're doing ultrasounds and checking pregnant people,
yeah,
guess what? 100% female.
There's an interesting exchange between, I think it was Ben Shapiro and one of these college debate, you know, speeches, and he talks with the students afterwards, and one of the students was all on for this gender, you know, binary, the non-binary stuff and women and everything, and she was an EMT, and he said, well, okay, let me ask you a question. If you came across a patient who was clearly a man and said he was having problems miscarrying, would you check? No.
Yeah, it's idiocy. I mean, you know, what was the story, too, about Governor Waltz in Minnesota putting I know there are kids listening.
Feminine products
in boys' bathrooms, yep, in the public schools. Was that true?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, I heard about that. I figured it was true. It was on a Fox or somewhere. I saw that. But
yeah.
Huh? And has he ever comment on that or been asked about that?
Not that I know. I mean, maybe tonight. But
if I were Trump, I'd bring that up at the debate.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Of course.
And then ask, I would make that an issue, and then I would say, I want to know how Vice President Harris feels about boys playing girl sports.
Yeah.
I would force that issue into the, because I think the American people are going to be 80-20, 90-10 against boys playing girls,
yeah,
sports.
How do you feel about that male boxer claiming, right, to be a female,
right,
beating up the female boxer at the Olympics? How, right, do you feel about that?
Right, I really would, because that's a big issue that the left is pushing right now. Many, yeah, on the left are pushing, not all, but many on the left are. You know, it was funny. I was reading an article the other day of what's that actress who? Well, she's not an actress. She's a fitness guru who. Did y'all see that story? She moved from, what's her name? She moved from California to Florida. And Michaels?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway.
Oh, is it Jan Michaels? Is that her name?
I'm not into fitness, I wouldn't be able to bring that up.
There are people yelling at the radio right now. But her last name is Michaels. You would know her face if you saw her. You would know her. She's very popular, fitness instructor, guru. Is that her name?
Jillian Michaels.
Jillian. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, she was quoted as saying, you know, she said she's a lesbian and she's got children of all different ethnicities. Some she's adopted, I think. And she said, I fit the demographic of, of a left winger about as good as you can, about as perfect as you can. She said, and but even I have left California because it's gone nuts out there.
Yeah.
She had more colorful language than that, but you know what I'm saying? She said, it's just the secular progressive agenda is destroying the state of California. And again, this woman is not even a conservative or a Christian, she just common sense.
Yeah,
common sense. You've seen her, right?
Yeah,
I've seen her, but I didn't know she was from Lebanon. So
yeah, Lebanon. I didn't know she's from Lebanon either.
She was Lebanese, isn't that what you said?
No, I see what you did there, Steve. Not going to comment on that. Going to move on. All right. Next story.
This is a serious story, actually. The Inspector General at the FBI.
What's that person's name?
They don't even give his name. He's just the inspector.
You know, it's a he. May identify as a
they.
She. Could be they.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's inspector general
inspector
at the
general.
FBI.
Every federal office has an inspector. Right. That has an inspector general's office.
Kind of like an auditor.
Right.
Internal auditor.
That are not. They're independent. Anyway,
they're there to prevent to try to prevent agencies from becoming corrupt.
Well, they're not doing well. The FBI, the Inspector General, has found that the FBI is failing to report suspected child abuse cases to appropriate law enforcement agencies in about 50% of the cases. In a review of 327 cases involving allegations of sex crimes against children, the Inspector General found no evidence that the suspected child abuse was reported to appropriate local law enforcement agencies in 47% of the cases. And when the reports were made, they were made within when the reports were made, they were made within the 24-hour period as is required by the Justice Department in only 43% of the cases. Now, the FBI has been doing a lot of work. It's been mostly political work on behalf of Joe Biden and the Democrats, but they haven't been being very good at getting suspected child abusers.
Is there anything in the story that would indicate what the problem is? Is it an attitude towards those crimes or what?
Go ahead.
Where are you getting this information?
This is AP.
AP. Hmm. But that's the Inspector General. You're quoting the Inspector General.
I'm quoting the Inspector
General.
You're
not saying, thus says Steve Jordahl.
No. This is the Inspector General. The statistics the AP has pulled up from the Inspector General's report. Now, they were supposed to revamp their reporting and all their policies after the Larry Nassar debacle. Remember the team doctor of the USA Gymnastics who was serving multiple life sentences for abusing gymnasts.
That was stunning. Yeah.
But they, apparently it hasn't they're acknowledging it's made many mistakes. So there's that.
Yeah. Next story.
All right. just in time for your election season, we're finding a growing number of Americans, increase in COVID. As 2024, the summer draws to a close, U.S. finds itself once again grappling with a surge of COVID-19 infections. So what this article and this opinion piece, Aaron Solomon, is saying is that we might need to go back to the COVID pandemic measures, the mask mandates and the closures and all that kind of stuff, because it's serious, folks. My tongue is firmly in my cheek there, too.
Yeah.
Mask mandates, social distancing guidelines, restrictions on large gatherings, they've all but disappeared, but the virus has provided ample opportunities to spread because we're not doing those things. So it's coming back.
While the warnings may be coming back, but the American people will not follow those guidelines again. They won't. Mm-mm. It's not going to happen.
I didn't think it would happen in a blue state.
No. I've seen a few people around the town where we live. They have masks on, you know, that kind of thing. But other than that, people that I talk to, I'm not going to put up with this nonsense.
Well, I think with COVID, all right, mask out in public, and let me just warn us, don't necessarily judge somebody as being COVID fanatically scared. Mm-hmm. There are people out there like that. Yes. We do know, and there are people, and they have phobias. A lot of people have their germophobes, and they don't want to be that way, but that's just the way they are. And so I make fun of the person who drives around in their car by themselves with the mask on too. I mean, we all do, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're outside and ride your bike, you got a mask on. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. But some people have phobias, okay? But there are other people who have they've been treated for cancer and they have a compromised immune system and they're worried about getting even the common cold or a flu or something like that, which might make them sicker than otherwise. And so they wear a mask.
They have a legitimate
reason to wear a mask. And you know, you don't know.
That's a whole different issue than mandates though.
Huh?
That's a whole different issue. I know,
but I was just explaining how, just don't be quick to judge people necessarily as crazy or
Democrat.
Are they synonymous, Steve? All right. So what did you say about the mandates? Yeah, I agree with Fred. I don't think mandates are coming back for COVID. Not unless you got a lethal strand where, you know, even then it'd be hard to.
Here's what's they're ramping up the fear, though, already. Last week, the Associated Press put out a story that the big vaccine producers are now shipping it out, millions of vaccines.
Like these vaccines for COVID you're talking about?
Yep. Yeah. And now I'm starting to see ads on TV, you know, families talking about, I'm going to get my shot. You know,
I haven't heard anybody be seriously ill for a long time, or certainly not
the virus
die from COVID in 3 years or so.
The virus is mutating, but it is weakening as it goes. So right now, it's like a case of the flu, maybe a longer lasting case of the flu or a bad cold. And I talked to Dr. Peter McCullough, who's a cardiologist who's been all over the vaccine issues. And he says that the vaccines are coming out, they're very reactive. So they find whatever strain is in the ascendance, I guess, and they start working on the vaccine. The vaccines that they're putting out now, the strains are almost gone, down to like 10% of the cases that would be affected by this vaccine.
But that's been the case of the flu shots, too.
Well, no, flu shots, yeah. They actually anticipate what the next generation of the flu is going to be.
They
use mathematical models to figure out how the virus is going to mutate.
Yeah. I couldn't do that. That's why I didn't make it into medical school.
That was the one reason.
Those what you're talking about, those mathematical equations?
Yeah.
Those were sent me in a different career path.
Now, I just think when you... It across the nation right now, there's a high level of skepticism about all the medical warnings out there. Very high level.
Right. And what did Mark Zuckerberg? You have that story? Did y'all talk about it yesterday?
I think we did talk about it yesterday, but we can talk about
it. Well, give us a synopsis.
Mark Zuckerberg has written a letter to to Jim Jordan, where he has admitted that the federal government pressured Facebook to censor information that was being put on their platform with regard to COVID, mostly. So that was one of the things he made. He also admitted that in 2020, they shadow banned all of the news stories about the Hunter Biden laptop. He said while they were fact-checking
it. He admitted to it,
but he said they probably wouldn't do that again. And then the third thing he said in his letter was that he's, you know, the Zuckerbucks that have been spent on election stuff, they all went to Democrat precincts and such.
Right.
And he says, well, it was all bipartisan, but the appearance is there that we were helping only Democrats. I put appearance in scare quotes there. He says he's no longer going to give any money to election issues.
You know, in the give credit where credit's due department, Mark Zuckerberg deserves a lot of credit here. The founder of Facebook. It's called Meta now, isn't it?
It is. Well, Meta's the
for him to own up to the failures of his company during the COVID scare, and you know, basically he's saying they were taking instructions from Dr. Fauci and the CDC uncritically, and they were censoring people talking about alternative or shadow, what do you call it, shadow?
Shadow banning?
Yeah, but in essence, it's censoring.
Yeah.
And he's saying, basically, Mark Zuckerberg's saying, I will never do that again. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give money just to liberal groups on politics. I'm not going to do that again. And what else did he say he's not going to do?
The money and the COVID stuff, and then he...
The Hunter Biden laptop story.
So, it is, I suppose it could be courageous, but he is also responding to questions that you've ever been to see in a congressional interview where they say, I'll get back to you with the answers to those.
Yeah.
This is one of those letters where Mark Zuckerberg is answering following questions following some of his testimony.
I'm suspicious of the timing.
I understand. Well, maybe my praise needs to wait. But I'm just saying, at least he's admitting those things in letter form that we just discussed. All right, we're out of time. Thank you for yours. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.